The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Kuf Mem Gimel. We're continuing now with the laws of Kibbud Av Va'Em, which is honoring parents, and we're discussing now certain situations where a person would not be obligated to listen to a parent. And we begin now in the Kitzer Sif Yud Beis. My ben writes to the Leches le'eza makom l'lomad Torah. If the son wants to go to a specific place to learn Torah, perhaps a certain yeshiva, v'pnei shasham tiyolai te'eles yosu mikan, that over there he'll have more of a te'eles, more of a benefit than where he is now. And the father objects and tries to stop him for whatever reason. He does not have to listen to the father. The Talmud Torah Godlum Yikibud Av Aim, because Torah is greater than honoring a parent. Now, the source of this concept is really from a tshuva from the Marik. We'll discuss that shortly, when he was talking about a person, a parent objecting about a shidduch, which is a similar idea. And the way the Kitzer is bringing it down, it seems that the main reason why the son does not need to listen to the father is because this is an idea of a mitzvah, and a person's obligation to serving Hashem supersedes their obligation to listen to a parent. Now, in that note, it's interesting that the Kitzer uses the wording "shasham tiyoloi te'elis yoyser mikan," that over there he'll have a bigger te'elis, a bigger purpose, which would seem that it's not enough that just the son wants to learn in a different place, but it has to have a real reason why that place is better. Because again, if the whole reason why the son doesn't have to listen to the parent is because his obligation to learn Torah supersedes the parent, so then the son wouldn't be allowed to do that if there wasn't such a big tangible difference. Later we're going to talk about other things where it could be there's a limit to how far the obligation to honor parents goes to, and it could be items that don't really have to do with a parent. There's not such obligation to listen to a parent about. So let's say the father says, "I want you to buy a certain color car, do something, not eat, sugar because he doesn't like, he thinks it's dangerous." These types of things they don't directly impact the parent. It's one thing to honor a parent and to respect them, but things that in the person's own private life. So this is a big discussion in the Rishayim, and according to many Rishayim, a person doesn't have an obligation to listen to a parent in those things. If one does, there's a mitzvah, but one does not have to listen to a parent in those things. So when it would come to learning, you might say the same thing, that the son can choose which yeshiva he wants. But over here, the Kitzer is not saying it. The Kitzer is understanding that the reason why he's picking the yeshiva is because he's going to have a tangible benefit. And then the reason why he does not have to listen to the father is simply because the obligation to learn and to be productive in one's learning supersedes the obligation to honor a parent. And the Kitzer brings an interesting illustration of that, k'debasinu b'Yaakov Avinu, as we find with Yaakov, our forefather Yaakov, alav shalom, shehalach miYitzchak, as we know he left his father Yitzchak, nitzman b'beis medrash shalshem v'eiver arba eser shana. So when he left Yitzchak's house, when he was running away from Esav, so he went and learned in the yeshiva of Shem v'eiver for 14 years, v'asik b'tayon. On his way to Lavan, he stopped off for 14 years. And then he went to Lavan's house. And along the course of the way, he was there for a total of 22 years. He was punished for those 22 years that he did not perform Kibbud Av Va'Em. And because of that, he had the pain and the anguish of not having his son Yosef around and not knowing what happened to him for 22 years. Well, Elu Arba Esishana, but those 14 years, she'asak b'tara le'nena, she was not punished for that. So basically, Yaakov Avinu was away from his parents for actually 36 years, but 14 of them were learning Torah, and he was not punished for that. So you see that those 14 years are something that a person is not obligated in the midst of honoring a parent. V'chein ima ben writes Lisa Isha, this is the example that I gave, which is the Marik in his tshuva, talks about the Marik is an important Rishain. He said he wants to marry a certain person, a certain woman, va'ave in misratze, the father doesn't want, ein haben chayv l'shmoyalai. The son does not have to listen to him. Now, if you look in the Marik, there's actually two reasons given by the Marik. One reason given by the Marik is what's mentioned here, because it's a dvar mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah item, and one is obligated to do mitzvahs more than on, that supersedes the person's obligation to listen to a parent. But the other thing that the Marik says is, as I mentioned, the idea that if it doesn't really have to do with the parent, like who a person marries, where a person learns, that also would be, that's also a reason why one does not have to listen to a parent in these items. Now, I've seen that many Paiskim understand that really we hold that there is not an obligation to honor parents on items that don't really have to do with them. So therefore, there's an interesting tshuva, there's an interesting responsa from the Meshivas Nefesh, that there was a person that wanted to be, he was a Talmud Chacham, a very learned person, and he took upon himself the stringency of Chadash, not eating the new wheat until Pesach, or known as Yashan today. Now today, in America, it's readily available. People who do want to keep Yashan, they're definitely, it is available, such products, and there's ways of finding out with the codes, and thank God there's no shortage of food here. But in Europe, it was a very difficult thing in those days to do that. So this Talmud Chacham, this person's mother, was very nervous about her son taking on this stringency because she was afraid it would affect his health in a bad way. And she didn't want him to do it. So he asked the Meshivas Nefesh, Ari Leib Tzins, this appears in a Sefer Meshivas Nefesh, about is he obligated to listen to his mother not to keep his stringency of Yashan. So the Meshivas Nefesh is a fascinating thing. The Meshivas Nefesh writes that technically he's not obligated to listen to the parent. He says, why? Because basically, since his own personal stringency of keeping Yashan is something that doesn't really affect the parent, and therefore he would be allowed to do it. Now, the Meshivas Nefesh brings up the issue, but what about the fact that his mother has anguish over the fact that the child, that her son, is not taking care of himself? So the way he understands it, and we're going to expound on this soon, he understands that that's sort of, she's bringing it on herself. And that no one asked her to get involved in that and to take it so seriously. So therefore, the son, by doing that, it's not considered that he's harming his mother, and therefore it's something that he's not obligated to listen to them about. But then the Meshivas Nefesh goes the other way. And he says, but if you do listen to your parents, and you have a mitzvah of kibud avim, he says, but what about the halachic issue, whether or not you have to keep Yashan? So the Meshivas Nefesh says that I wrote a special work on Al-Chadash, and he feels strongly that one does not have to keep it. There's a different opinion. So he says, so if you'll accept my rationale that I write in my work, in my Sefer, so you don't have to really keep Yashan, and then you could absolve your neder, absolve your obligation, and you could fulfill the mitzvah of kibud avim. So it's sort of an interesting piece from the Meshivas Nefesh, where it's very well balanced. On the one hand, he says that technically this person is not obligated to listen to the mother, and he could keep Yashan, even though the mother might be pained by it, because it doesn't really have to do with the mother. On the other hand, he says that it is a mitzvah to make it that the mother does not have that pain, to the point that if one could justify doing it for solid halakhic reasons, that would be a good thing to do. Now, in general, it's an interesting question if a parent doesn't want a child to keep a certain chumrah. As we know, We know that if something is a halacha, an obligation, so then the parent doesn't have a right to tell the son what to do, like we find over here, even when it comes to marriage and it comes to learning Torah. But the question is something that's not a real solid thing, but it's more of a chumrah, of added stringency, what would be the halacha? Now, if Pam Zachan Levracha, the Rashi of Taravadas, he talks about this at length in his Sefer, and he was coming more from a Musar and Midas perspective of how a person wants to do a stringency, but they're not careful about how it affects other people. And it seems, I believe Rav Pam brings opinions like this, but I remember as well seeing this in a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein's itself, that this idea of the obligation of honoring a parent has being superseded by one's obligation to serve Hashem, and the only things that are really halacha concerns, but something that's going to be a stringency, and then that would be then that a person wouldn't have, you couldn't use that argument for. So therefore, Maisha says, for example, if a person's gonna visit their parents and the parents don't keep all their stringencies, then that's not a reason not to visit your parents, because you have a mitzvah to visit your parents, and the fact that you're gonna have to give up on some things that you're machmir on, that you're overly stringent on, but the mitzvah of honoring the parent supersedes that. Now, in a little bit of a different vein, there's a tshuva, there's a piece from the Tziv, that the Tziv writes that even though a person does not have to listen to a parent as far as who they should marry, but if the shidduch is going to cause a bezayin, meaning a disgrace, then already something different. Meaning to say there's two levels. According to the Tziv, there's two levels. The idea that you don't have to listen to your parent when it comes to things that don't have to do with them. So therefore, if the mother is overly protective and she wants her son to eat, you know, three nourishing meals a day, and he wants to cut back a little bit and be careful about his yashan, so it doesn't really affect, it's not really, you know, affecting anything too much, just the mother sort of overly, you know, caring. That's one thing. But if it's something that's a real, direct, you know, strong pain, you know, causing emotional hardship to a parent, then that's considered that you're really affecting them, and something that a person has to be concerned about. So that Siv basically understands that when it comes to a shidduch, even though the parent doesn't have a right to object to any shidduch, but if it's something that's really going to be a disgrace to the parent, that's going to cause them tremendous emotional pain and legitimate pain, then that should not be done. There's an interesting psak that I saw brought in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's not in the regular Sfarim, but it's brought from a Talmud that heard from him that about, say, a child learning in Eretz Yisrael during a time when it's, you know, this terrorist attack, Shalom, or these types of things. So, you know, the parent is nervous about it. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion that such a thing, the parent has a right to ask the child to come home. And it seems along the lines of the Sinitziv, in other words, if the son wants to be away from home and learn somewhere, so listen, a child's not a prisoner, and this is where it's going to be good for his learning, so he has a right to learn where he wants to learn. But if it's in a situation where it's natural and it's normal for a parent to have tremendous anguish because, you know, there's a war going on or something like that, then, as we saw from the Sinitziv, one would have a right, one has to take the parents' well into consideration. The other thing is, as we mentioned from the Shivas Nefesh, that even, this is only a discussion about the obligation, but if one could work things out that they could make the parents happy, that itself is a tremendous mitzvah. Now, I'd like to just add one more thing on this topic before we continue, and that is that the Chazon Ish asks an interesting question. He asks on the Marik, why does the Marik give both reasons, the idea that it's a mitzvah, marrying who you want, and the idea that it doesn't have to do with the parents. And what the Marik points out is an important point, which is that, you know, who a child marries does have a lot to do with the parents, you know, whether it's, you know, who their family is, whether it's they help out, they make the wedding. There's many ways where it does affect. So the Chazon Ish says that the reason why he needed both reasons is because this is not just a clean break, something that doesn't really have to do with the parents at all. It does somewhat have to do with the parents. Now, the Chazon Ish also explains in the same piece that that really this does have to do with the parents. Really, the parents should have a right to sort of meddle as far as who the child marries. However, says the Chazon Ish, a very beautiful point, he says that the fact that the Torah says a person should marry who they want to marry, what the Torah is saying is that the parents should respect the privacy of the child, or the space of the child. And therefore, that's what the Torah wants. So because that's what the Torah wants, so therefore, the parents shouldn't get involved. Now, based on this Chazon Ish, I think it adds just another dimension to this, that there are things that do not have to do with the parents necessarily, and the parents should not be involved in it. And if it's something like that, then if that's what the Torah wants, that the parents should not be involved, then we can strongly say that a child does not have a mitzvah of kibud av'im in those things. Because if the Torah wants it that a person should marry or who they want, or they should live their own private life in a certain way that works for them, whatever it is, if that itself is a value, then one's not meshubed, then one does not have to be concerned about the parents' will. On the other hand, if it's something that the parents do have a legitimate right to know about, so then even if it say doesn't necessarily affect the parent, but it's something that a parent is naturally concerned about, and that's okay, so that would be an added reason to say that one should be taking into consideration the will of the parents. So basically, just to sum up, what we have over here is we have two concepts. One concept of a devar mitzvah, idea of a mitzvah, and one concept that something does not have to do with the parent. And basically what we're saying is, according to many shitas, first of all, to be a devar mitzvah, it seems that it has to be a really pretty solid mitzvah, and not just a stringency. And as far as, on the other hand, something that doesn't have to do with the parents, it seems that there's a strong reason to say that one's not obligated to honor the parents in those things. However, it definitely is a mitzvah if one could work it out to do it in a way that would honor the parents. And it's something that causes real strong pain or tsar or bezayin or disgrace. That could be that it's considered that the parents do have a right to object. Now we're going to continue with Sif Yud Gimel. So first of all, both a man and woman have an obligation to honor parents. But a married woman, because she has certain obligations to her husband, therefore she's exempt from honoring the parents. But if the husband is not makbar on her, meaning it doesn't conflict with her obligations to her husband, she's obligated to do whatever she could. Now, what to me is sort of interesting about this halacha is that, mitzvahs we look at similar to monetary obligations. That, if I borrow money from one person, then I borrow from someone else, so my first obligation is to the first person, then my next obligation is to the next person, financially. Now, with mitzvah-wise also, a woman, when she gets married, she makes a commitment to her husband, to her family, and therefore, that commitment cannot be overridden by something that someone needs from her, say, the mitzvah of honoring the parents. And this is important because sometimes people, whether it's honoring parents or other types of mitzvahs, they sometimes neglect their family obligations, whether it's a man or a woman, and a man also has chiyuv obligations to his wife, he signs the ksuba, and sort of people neglect those obligations to do other mitzvahs, and we see very clearly that the structure of the halacha is that a person has solid obligations, a ksuba, or a wife to a husband, to family, whatever these things are, and those are actual strong obligations, and they supersede other obligations. Sif Yudal. Kol mevasa aviv imo, one who disgraces a parent, ufil b'dvarim, even with words, fafil bermiza, even only by sort of insinuating, making a hinting to it, harizeh b'chal arer v'yagvura, there's a special curse that the Torah gives for a person that does that, shenemar, arer makla aviv imo, cursed is the one who makes light of a parent, and this really fits in very well to the Sefer HaChinuch we mentioned in the last year, that the whole idea of honoring a parent is to show that gratitude, and a person who insinuates that lack of gratitude, you know, and that looking down upon is the antithesis of what the Torah is trying to teach us with this mitzvah. Sif Tezvav. Hayakaitz Tachov L'Av Al-Imai. Now, we know that there's a prohibition to cause a wound to a parent. Now, if there's a prohibition to cause a wound to a parent, then what if the child wants to help the parent by removing a splinter? So this is exactly the question here. Hayakaitz, a kaitz is a thorn, or a splinter, Tachov L'Av Al-Imai, and it's embedded in the skin of a parent, Lo Yitziyanu. So one's not supposed to take it out. Shemiyasa Behem Chabura. Maybe the one's going to cause it to bleed. Because it's very severe, the punishment of one who causes a parent to bleed is called a chiyuv chenek. That's strangulation. That's one of the four capital punishments. Also, if the child's a doctor, he shouldn't let blood. Today that would be more like a blood test. They shouldn't amputate a limb that needs to be amputated, even though he's doing it for medicinal purposes. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says an interesting thing. Says that if the father wants it, it's not a problem. Because the whole idea of a chabura, of making a wound, is something that's inflicted as a confrontation, as something that's destructive. But if that's what the father wants, then it should be permitted. However, we see over here that it's not. But as the kitzur qualifies that, if there's someone else that could tend to the parent, then someone else should do it. But if there's no one else, and the parent is in pain, he's able to let the blood and to make an incision, whatever is necessary. Now, as I mentioned to you, really, for medicinal purposes, it's permitted. So why do we say, if someone else is around, that they're supposed to let the other person do it? And the answer, what seems to be from the Paiskim, is because we're dealing with something that's so severe, we're afraid that one might do a little extra, or might make a mistake, or not be so careful, and that's why, because of the severity of it, if someone else is available, they should do it. Now, this question comes up, let's say a parent needs an injection, and the daughter's a nurse, so she's going to do it for the parent, it's much easier for them. So, with another discussion also, what if it's going to cost them money? Now, there could be an argument. I was thinking that when it comes to an injection, where there's not so much that could go wrong, that there'll be less of a concern. In other words, if it would be a surgery or something major, so then there's a concern that the person is going to do extra, and so that'll be a problem. But over here, perhaps it's not such an issue. Also, it's just a little prick, you know, so it's not such a serious chabura. And especially if it's more difficult for the parent to go somewhere to have it done or to call someone over. Also, there's a discussion if it's going to cost them money, perhaps. So these will be reasons, perhaps, to say that it will be permitted. There is a discussion, what about a grandchild? It's not brought clearly, but a grandchild, there is a tshuva from the, I think, the Rav Ba'alam. I think he says that a grandchild is permitted. There's a little bit of a discussion about that, what the status of a grandchild is, but a grandchild is definitely much less severe than a child. Siftez Zayin. Misha nitra fodaita shal aviv, hoy shal imoy. Unfortunately, the parent is not of sound mind. This is common, let's see, you know, an elderly parent has dementia, has Alzheimer's. The child wants to take care of them, tries to work with them, actually rachem Hashem aleim, until hopefully they'll be doing a little better. If it's too difficult because their situation has deteriorated, one should better yet give the care over to others. One should do that. Meaning to say that as long as one could respectfully take care of a parent in that situation, then it's okay. But once the parent is starting to lash out and be very difficult, and you know, in order to take care of them, the caregiver is going to have to be very firm. We have to restrain them. do these types of things, so then it's not proper that a child should do that for a parent. So if there's others that could give the care, so it's better that they should do it than the child does that. This is the idea over here. And again, from this halacha, we see how, in respect to the parents, even if the parent is not of sound mind, but it's the idea, again, of the recognition of the good of a parent, what a parent does, at least brings the child into the world, hopefully much more. And that's why, one has to give them honor, even though they're not, unfortunately, able to appreciate it. We're going to continue now with Sif Yud Zayin. Also, l'adam l'hachbid ulay al banav. Now, it works the other way as well, that the mitzvah of honoring a parent is great, so the parent has to realize that and try to make it not too difficult for the children to fulfill their mitzvah. So, also, l'adam l'hachbid ulay al banav. A person is not permitted to make it very difficult for his children, l'daktik b'chvayde imam, and to be very into his honor, shalai yavim l'day mechshol, because you're just going to cause a stumbling block, because it is a very important mitzvah, and you're making it that very easy for them to mess up. Ela yimchol v'yalme, ain't of mehem, but the proper thing would be for the parent to forgive, and not to care so much about it. Sha'av shemachal k'vaydai, k'vaydai mechol, because certain types of honors one is allowed to forgive, and thereby removing the issue. So if a parent is able to do that, so therefore the best practice from the parent's end is to forgive, and that way the children will not be held accountable if they fall short of the obligations. But obviously the children are supposed to do as much as they could do to honor the parents properly. Sif Yud Ches, another instruction as far as from the parent's end of things. Also, l'hakas is b'nai gadol. A parent should not hit their older son. What's the reason? The reason is because, again, even though technically the parent may be allowed to hit the child, but you're putting them in a situation where they might hit back, and by doing so, you're gonna put them in a situation where they're gonna transgress something. So the idea is always that we don't want to put another person in a situation where they're not gonna be able to control themselves and do the wrong thing, because then we're going to be held responsible, at least at some extent, for that as well. Vein gadlus zut tlui b'shanim, says the kitzur, it doesn't have to do with how old the son is, el hakol ufi tivay shel ben, but it's according to the nature of the son. The son, you know, feels very proud, and he's going to be scolded like that from the parent. It's going to end up that the parent, that he strikes back, kol sheyesh lachos sheyatris kenegdai, that the child will fight back. Now the kitzur adds a very important point. B'dibur oy b'maisa, whether in words or in action. So this is a very important and practical point, that we're not only talking here about a parent hitting a child, but we're talking about even verbally, right? So a parent is upset with a child, and they say, well, I'm going to take this away from you, or I'm going to, whatever it is, and now you're going to cause the child out of anger to be disrespectful to the parents. Says the halacha, the parents not supposed to set them up like that, because you're causing them to transgress something. It's a very important concept for a parent to keep in mind. If you're in a bar mitzvah, even if the parents aren't of bar mitzvah age, but they still also la'kaisa, the parent should not hit the child. Elechicha b'dvarim, should use words, and obviously he should use words that are not going to cause the child to do something he shouldn't be doing. Chalamakes b'nei gadol. And one who does that, who disciplines the older child and puts the child in danger of transgressing his own mitzvah, menadonai, so we excommunicate the parent, which is fascinating, because he's putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, meaning to say he's putting this child in a very difficult situation. So it's totally so fascinating how in this halacha we find an obligation on the parent not to make it so difficult for the child, to the point that we would even excommunicate the parent if they do that. Sif Yud Tes. Chayv Adam L'chavit Eishes Aviv Al Hapishen Imai. A person is supposed to honor a father's second wife, even though it's not his mother, Kol Zman She'Aviv Kayam, as long as the father is living, because that's part of the honor of the father. Chayv Chayv L'chavit Baal Imai. The same will be with a stepfather, calls much ima kames, as long as the mother's living. And it's proper to honor them even after the parent has passed away, because at the end of the day, there was a relationship there, and it's a way of respecting the parent by respecting their spouse. Sif Chaf. Chayv Adam b'chvay achiv agadol mimenu. We see here a concept of honoring an older brother, whether it's from paternal or maternal brother. One also has to honor his in-laws, as we find with King David. He honored Shaul, who was his father-in-law. Sheyachamiv, Vikar Avi, called him father. Sheamar, like that he says, Avi Roy Gamra'a, and he called him a father. So the Kitzur over here is telling us other honors besides parents that we have to be careful of, an older brother, and in-laws. V'chayv b'choy Avi Aviv, and also the grandparent, El Shekfoy Aviv, Gadol Mikfoy Avi Aviv, but the honor to a father is greater than the obligation to a grandfather. Sivchav Aleph, this concludes this very important simon. It says the following: Mishu writes of Emes Lachavidus of Vesimoy. One who truly wants to give honor to their parents, Yasek V'Tarvim Asim Taivim, one has to think a little bit broader than just bringing them a cup of coffee or making them happy. But he should involve himself in learning Torah, b'masim tayvim, and good deeds. Shezeh ha'kovod agadol l'avos, because that's the most honorable thing. She'ayim rabriyus, because people will say about this person, ashri l'avos aim shegud l'kazeh, that happy and praised are the parents that they brought up such a family. So the point is always to realize the bigger picture. The greatest thing one can do from the parents is that they should be an example of something that reflects highly on the parents. But if the child doesn't act properly, then it's going to be an embarrassment for the parents. It's the greatest embarrassment. And also, if a father cares about his children, he should be someone that the children should feel proud of. This should be good to heaven, meaning to say keep and be nice to people. And it should be an honor and a pride of the family. But one who does not go the proper way, gamzar maguna acharav, then his children become disgraced. The gamba von always born a mesu, and also because of the sin of the parents, it causes the children to die. That Hashem, in certain situations, pays for the sins of the fathers through the children. And there's no greater meanness or coldness. That he causes the children to die because of his sins. And no one shows greater mercy on his children than a tzaddik, his chus ha'medes l'adavtar, because his greatness stands for generations. So this whole idea that the Kitzur just said is based on a Zayar, and based on a Gemara and Yuma. And the concept is a very strong one, and that is that ultimately, if we really care about our children, then we need to be examples for them, and we need to be people that they're proud of, who, you know, of their upbringing and who their parents are. And if we truly care about our parents, we want to be a legacy for them as well. Sifchav Beis. Ger, a convert, also kal of Hagoy, Pulevazeyu, even though we know that a ger, a convert, is like Katan Shalel Dami, he's like reborn, but still he should not disgrace his non Jewish father. Shalayimar, Banu Mikdusha Chmur Lakadusha Kala, the people should not say, well, look, he went from having an obligation to his parents to not having an obligation. The Nagban mixes covered, but he honors them some. There's an interesting tshuva from Moshe Feinstein about, is there obligation for a ger, for a convert, to visit his parents? And he brings this idea, and the question was, and we know this idea that a ger should keep a certain distance. So Moshe Feinstein writes beautifully that there's a specific obligation of a karzat tayv, showing gratitude that the parents brought them up, even though they don't technically have a status of a parent, but they brought them up, they brought them into the world, they brought them up, they're supportive of them. So that's a basic obligation of a karsa type. So therefore, Moshe says that one should do so. Obviously, especially if one has children, they have to realize that, you know, there are things that they have to be careful of. You know, being in that environment, but fundamentally, is the obligation of a karas ha'tayf. So this concludes the siman on honoring parents.